Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Growthpoint Properties Australia Full Year Results Announcement 2018 conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Timothy Collier, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to start by welcoming you all to the Growthpoint Properties Australia Financial Year 18 presentation of results. With me today are members of Growthpoint's executives, Dion Andrews and Michael Green. A special welcome to Yan Hong, our General Counsel and Company Secretary, who is covering for Aaron Hockley, who is on 12 months parental leave. Today I will start with an overview of the results, detailing some of the highlights of the year. I'll then introduce Dion Andrews, Growthpoint CFO, who will present some areas of interest with respect to financial management, and then Michael Green will discuss the property portfolio. Following that, I'll provide a summary and closing comments about Growthpoint strategy and outlook. We will then take your questions. Moving to slide 4. At the outset, the board and management are very pleased with the results of financial year 18. With a strong operational performance, the balance sheet's in good shape and opportunities for growth are present. What has been pleasing is the strategies put in place have produced good return for security holders in respect of exceeding group FFO guidance per security, delivering 3.3% distribution growth and attractive total returns both on the ASX and on the balance sheet. Acquisitions of high yielding assets in both the direct and listed market provided strong cash flow, and we achieved an exceptional result in selling a Woolworths distribution centre in Victoria at a 37.7 premium to book value and exit yield of 5.2%. Asset sales to the DRP and strong property valuation gains have meant gearing has been lowered to 33.9% and NTA per security increased 10.8% to $3.19. Capitalisation rate compression and strong leasing performance drove valuation gains. Finally, we continue to progress our sustainability agenda, with gender diversity improved to 50% in financial year 18 and further improvements in our average neighbours energy rating. Michael will provide further details on 3 renewable energy projects the group will be advancing in financial year 19. To slide 5. The market to purchase institutional grade property investments in Australia is competitive, with domestic and offshore buyers plentiful and yields low. Recognising this, Growthpoint has taken a considered view of new acquisitions and has made new investments in the listed market via its stake in Industria REIT and our first acquisition into the Perth office market. In respect of Industria REIT, we will continue to hold this as a standalone investment and look forward to reviewing their financial year results out next week. In May, management and the board undertook a strategic review of the retail property market in Australia, effectively asking the question, is it time to invest? At this time, we have reaffirmed our preference to invest in office and industrial logistics markets. With the backdrop of the market, we also turned to the existing portfolio to maximise security holder value by selling assets with a higher and better use and executing internal development opportunities. Since the GMF or GPT Metro takeover in 2016, Growthpoint has sold $360 million of assets, raised $155 million via the DRP, and have benefited from significant valuation gains. Valuation gains have been a product of capitalization rate compression, but also proactive asset management strategies where strong leasing performance has been demonstrated. And Michael Green will discuss a few examples of this. All this transactional activity has placed us in a good capital position, ready for future growth, with access to both equity and debt. Moving on to slide six. Just provide a quick summary on some post-balance date activities. Firstly, we expect to settle the acquisition of 836 Wellington Street, West Perth, for $91.3 million in October 2018. Why did we buy this property? Well, firstly, the fundamentals of the property are very good. A modern A-grade office building, leased long-term to the Commonwealth Government, good rent reviews of 3.75% and low capex. Secondly, the market. This is Growthpoint's first investment in the Perth office market and has been made after many years of evaluation and tours west. We have run our ruler over several opportunities in this market. A similar process was followed when we first purchased the now $310 million New South Wales Police headquarters in Parramatta in 2014. We evaluate, learn the market, and then wait for the right property to purchase. The outlook for the Perth market is now more positive. The vacancy rate is coming down. Net absorption over the last 12 months was over 30,000 square metres, and sublease space is being withdrawn by major resource companies. With incentives as high as 50%, rents have bottomed and are expected to show good effective rent growth in coming years. Growthpoint will be a beneficiary of this market, however, without taking leasing risk. Secondly, we have the quads 2 and 3 at Sydney Olympic Park for sale via selling agents GJS and Savills. The properties represent an attractive suburban office investment in their own right, but with considerable residential apartment development appeal, subject to approval under the SOPA 2030 Master Plan. The expression of interest sales process closes on the 4th of September 2018. Moving to slide seven. This slide details Growthpoint's major development and expansion projects. In respect of Botanica 3, we've appointed HESA as builder and they have commenced demolition of on the site this week. We have several leasing proposals out in the market for the whole and part of the office space, but it's early days yet. The development is forecast to be completed in mid-2020 and subject to leasing, generate an attractive profit and income yield on cost to the group. The Melbourne vacancy rate of 3.6% for the CBD and circa 5% for the city fringe, coupled with strong population and white-collar employment growth, takes the development into a good Melbourne office leasing market. Secondly, Jeff's Cross. Development approval of this expansion has been received, and we're currently negotiating a $50 to $60 million expansion and lease extension with Woolworths. Moving to slide eight, track record of strong returns. Guidance for FFO per security of at least 24.6 cents is provided for financial year 19, subject to the assumptions detailed at the top of the slide. A distribution of 23 cents per security or growth of 3.6% is forecast. Effectively, this is our as-is or base case forecast. As has occurred in prior years, we will look to upgrade guidance should market circumstances and transactional activity allow. Growthpoint aims to provide a growing distribution to its security holders over the long term. That is our primary focus of the group. The graph showing FFO and distributions per security since financial year 14 show these have grown at 4% and 3.9% per annum, respectively, well above inflation. Secondly, returns to Growthpoint security holders have been attractive over a 1, 3, and 5 year period on an absolute and relative basis with our performance against the S&P ASX 300 A-REIT index. I'll now hand over to Dion Andrews, our CFO.
Thanks, Tim. Firstly, I'd like to say that FY18 has been a really pleasing year financially for the group, and we head into FY19 in great financial shape. I'll run through the highlights now, starting on slide 10 with a high-level overview. Statutory profit for the year was $358 million, up 29% on last year. This equates to earnings per security of 53.5 cents, which is the highest reported EPS of any year since Growthpoint's inception in 2009. Funds from operations were 25 cents per security, which improved by 5.9% during the course of the year from an initial guidance of 23.6 cents, helped by accretive acquisitions. The group declared a distribution for the full year of 22.2 cents per security, which was 3.3% higher than the FY17 distribution. NTA per security increased 10.8% to $3.19, and gearing was reduced 460 basis points over the period to 33.9%, which is below the bottom of the group's target gearing range. I'll touch more on both NTA and gearing in a moment. On slide 11, we take a closer look at gearing, which at the end of the period was 33.9%, 460 basis points lower than 30 June 2017. Factoring in the completion of known acquisitions and payment of the second half 18 distribution in the next few months, gearing is still conservatively at the bottom end of the target range, giving us substantial flexibility to take advantage of the right opportunities as they arise. At 30 June, we had undrawn debt lines of $320 million and an all-in debt cost of 4.4%. There has been a well-documented increase in the short-term floating rate of bank debt, 0.25% over the last few months, but with fixed debt making up 82% of drawn debt, Growthpoint is largely shielded from these increases. Further, our fixed debt has a weighted average maturity of some 5.5 years, meaning a high degree of protection should interest rates increase further over the medium term. It should be noted, however, that there appears to be little chance of the cash rate increasing over the short term, with most economic commentators predicting the RBA will be on hold until towards the end of 2019, at least. Turning now to slide 12, we can see that it was another solid year of net tangible assets growth. NTA per security rose to $3.19, an increase of 10.8% over the year. This follows an increase over FY17 of 10.3%. The key driver of this year's increase was again property revaluations, which benefited from 28 basis points of cap rate compression, improved market rents, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, and excellent leasing outcomes for the group. Two-thirds of the revaluation uplift can be accounted for by cap rate compression, while roughly one-third relates to market rents, which continue to improve as office vacancy falls, particularly in eastern seaboard states, and e-commerce continues to drive demand for logistics properties. Another solid contributor to the uplift in NTA related to the gain on sale of Woolworths Mulgrave property, which was sold at a 38% premium to its book value. Turning to slide 13, we see the group's debt capital is in a sound position. $515 million of bank debt expiring in mid-FY19 was extended in the second half to maintain a weighted average debt maturity of 5 years, the same as at the beginning of FY18. The USPP deal done at the end of FY17 helped create a well-diversified debt book. Growthpoint now retains a good balance between shorter-term, more flexible bank debt and longer-term fixed debt. Going forward, Growthpoint will continue to act quickly and decisively on upcoming debt expiries the first not until September 2020, and will look to all available debt markets for the best solution for security holders when new debt is required. As mentioned earlier, our all-in cost of debt at 30 June is 4.4%. This cost is impacted by the group having a larger undrawn balance of $320 million, as line fees continue to be paid on the undrawn balance. If our current debt was fully drawn, this all-in cost reduces to 4.1% per annum. In summary, the group now has a well-established track record of earnings and distribution growth. Our balance sheet is in excellent shape with low gearing of 33.9%, a long weighted average debt maturity, and a high percentage of our debt fixed for the medium term. We continue to enjoy good access to capital to support the right transactions should opportunities present themselves. I'll now hand over to Michael Green, Chief Investment Officer, to provide some more colour on our property portfolio.
Thank you, Dale. Turning to slide 16. Operationally, the portfolio is performing very well and continues to be deliberately weighted towards the growth segments of the office and industrial property markets, which are the favoured markets for the global real estate investors at present. Office market fundamentals continue to improve, with vacancy rates in growth bonds key markets contracting and market rents growing. The industrial market continues to be the beneficiary of the rapidly growing e-commerce sector, with land values and rentals increasing. Whilst Growthpoint's portfolio is concentrated on the eastern seaboard, we will invest where we see value for our security holders, with our most recent investment, post-balance date, being a modern office building in Perth, which is a market showing strong signs of recovery. As Tim mentioned earlier, we recently undertook another detailed review of the retail property market, and Growthpoint continues to prefer the growth sectors of office and industrial markets. Turning to slide 17. Slide 17 speaks to the certainty and predictability of the group's income. Growthpoint have continued to maintain a high occupancy level of 97% and above since the group's inception 9 years ago. We now only have 1% of leases expiring in 2019. The group's income is predominantly being derived from office and logistics tenants, with both the buoyant sectors of the market presently. A 3.3% weighted average rent review continues to underpin Growthpoint's 3-4% distribution growth target. Turning to slide 18. Growthpoint's income is being derived from a range of quality tenants, with 80% of the income originating from listed and government tenants, and the remainder from large private tenants. The group's asset management lens is well and truly on the potential FY20 lease expiries, with discussions continuing with tenants around renewal and extension terms. Of the 11% of potential lease expiries in FY20, it is important to note that 1.5% of this is attributable to car park leases with secure parking, which have a very high renewal probability, and 0.7% of the leases are in assets currently being marketed for sale. Further, we are having ongoing dialogue with Woolworths in relation to their FY22 lease expiries. Office net property income like-for-like growth of -0.6% was impacted by two long-term leases, the first an 8-year lease extension to the Commonwealth Government at 10 to 12 Mort Street, Canberra, and the second a 15-year lease to David Jones at Growthpoint's Richmond asset. Excluding these two leases, like-for-like growth in the office sector would have been positive 4.6%. Turning to slide 19. Another strong year of leasing results with in excess of 132,000 square metres of space being leased, reflecting 8% of the portfolio rent. As can be seen in the following slide, the active leasing of assets has translated into above average valuation growth. It is important to note that both the Australia Post renewal and the Westpac lease extension were both handled directly by the group without external leasing agents being appointed, thus maximising the return for Growthpoint security holders. Turning to slide 20. The group's determined focus on leasing and tenant retention has flowed directly through to producing strong valuation uplifts across assets where we previously had vacancies. A close relationship with our tenant Westpac at Bedford Park has resulted in a second time lease extension, leading to a 22% valuation increase for this asset. At 333 Ann Street, through a variety of market initiatives, including subdividing clause, and creating state-of-the-art turnkey fit-out options for tenants, we've increased occupancy to 95% from 77% 24 months ago. At 109 Burwood Road, Hawthorne, we upgraded the end-of-trip facilities and the entry foyer, and occupancy has increased from 76% 24 months ago to 95%. The diligent and disciplined approach of Growthpoint's asset management team has resulted in substantial value creation at both of these assets. Post-balance date, I'm pleased to say the majority of the remaining vacancy within these assets is now under offer. The 17% valuation accretion over the last 2 years of the former GPT Metro Office Fund assets provides a strong example of where we've been able to identify value in the listed merger and acquisition space. Turning to slide 21. The group has increased the average NABERS energy rating of the portfolio to 4.6 stars over the period. We recognise the link between creating efficient, energy efficient, healthy and environmentally friendly spaces for our tenants to work in and securing long-term returns for our security holders. To that end, Growthpoint is advancing significant renewable energy projects to support our sustainability objectives and improve on our already highly green credentialed portfolio. These projects demonstrate a genuine commitment to renewable energy being made by the group, but most importantly, ensure that we continue to attract the highest quality tenants to our buildings and ensure stability in the income we generate. Turning to slide 22. The national infrastructure boom continues to benefit Growthpoint's assets, further increasing their appeal for occupiers and underpinning their future rental performance. A selection of $1.2 billion of Growthpoint's portfolio has been identified on slide 22, which will directly benefit from several key infrastructure projects underway in Melbourne and Sydney. Growthpoint is the largest listed owner of fringe and metro office assets in the country, and the infrastructure boom is set to benefit these markets ahead of CBD markets. I will now hand back to Tim Collier for closing comments.
Thank you, Michael. To slide 24, the summary. Growthpoint has had a strong operational result in financial year 18, with all areas of the business performing well. We are particularly confident about the future. Growthpoint's portfolio has deliberately been positioned in the strong office and industrial property markets, where tenant demand is good, supply outlook moderate, withdrawals of stock have been material, with solid prospects for effective rental growth. As Michael has noted, domestic and offshore investors' preference is for investment in these markets, so demand for such assets is good. Growthpoint offers investors an attractive distribution yield with targeted growth of 3 to 4% per annum, backed by a quality, well-leased property portfolio. Australian inflation and bond yields remain historically low, and high-yielding real assets with a positive yield spread are attractive to a range of investors. Looking forward, enhanced returns can be generated from successful development and expansions which are current, sale of assets with a higher and better use and reinvestment of the proceeds, early action on upcoming lease expiries, continuing the strong leasing performance of the group over many years, and acquiring new assets directly in the market or via M&A. Thank you for attending the results presentation today. We will now take your questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star then two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Darren Long from Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Just a few from me. First one for Dion. So the cost of debt, 4.4 in FY18, and you obviously mentioned if you were to draw down the full debt, the cost of debt would go down. But what, assuming current, you know, draw, what is your current forecast for your FY19 cost of debt, please?
It would stay at 4.4 if nothing else were to change, if we were to keep a constant debt balance over FY19.
Great, thank you. And then in terms of the extent of over-renting in both portfolios. Do you have an update of where they sit now?
Yeah, sure. So the office portfolio is about 7.4% over-rented, industrial 6.6%, and that blends to 7.1%. So that's been reduced from 7.5% 12 months earlier.
Cool. Thank you. And then is there an update in regards to the stake on RDR?
Not significantly. I mean, we're happy with our investment in the stake. We've obviously enjoyed a 7.2% distribution yield over the year. We're awaiting the results next week, and we'll look at those with interest. And then at probably the next board meeting, we'll sit down and review those results with the board, and review our investment at that time. But certainly, there's been no decision about doing anything with our stake by the board to this time.
I've noticed the stake is being held on the balance sheet as a non-current asset, which obviously by the rules or the accounting rules implies that it's going to be held for more than 12 months. Is this, I suppose, part of the view on the economics of the holding?
Darren, it's Dion here. It's just accounting rules. So you either hold it as you're an active trading company, which obviously Growthpoint is not. We're not an active trading entity. So therefore, it's just classified as a long-term asset.
Right, thank you. And then just on quads 2 and 3, bringing them to market. So I would have thought there'll be more upside imminent in the next few years, just as all that space sort of gets rezoned for residential, you know, infrastructure that you've pointed out, et cetera, et cetera. And then can you please answer that in reference to one of your peers who highlighted that they're having sort of delays with the council in terms of converting existing office use into mixed use?
Sure. So the process is a bit different at Sydney Olympic Park. So it's a permitted use. You just have to approach Sydney Olympic Park and arrange for the conversion payment between leasehold and freehold. So that's been an ongoing discussion, which we've resolved now. So from Sydney Olympic Park's perspective, they want to realise the Master Plan 2030, which these sites have really been designated for longer-term apartment sites. We're not in the situation where we're struggling to get the conversion through. It's pretty much there. But we think now is a good opportunity for us, given where the leasing position of the assets are, to take them to market, which gives enough income for a developer to come in and keep the income for a period of time, get their sort of approvals in line, and then proceed. Otherwise, from our perspective, if we're long-term holders of income-producing assets, we need to then go and lease space out for longer term, which may encumber the site for long term, which is not what we're trying to do right now.
Okay, understand. Thank you. And just the final one from me. Again, one of the themes that have come up so far is just around net debt to EBITDA. Based on my numbers, your FY18 net debt to EBITDA is about 5.7 times. How do you think about that in the context of your credit rating? And you know, what range are you trying to keep that in between?
Sure, Darren, it's Dion here. We have a credit rating from Moody's, Baa2. One of the drivers of a potential downgrade is if your net debt to EBITDA goes above 6 times. So we have been above 6 times. For example, when we took over GMF, we obviously had a plan to reduce gearing, and that was all very comfortable with Moody's. Anything below 6 times, we're absolutely comfortable on the Moody's rating.
What's the impact to your cost of debt if you were to get the downgrade?
Smallish. We don't have any debt that specifically relies on the Moody's rating at the moment. So neither USP, our bilateral loans, or our bank debt have any impact from a downgrade. So there'll be no immediate impact. It's then, if you're viewed as a lower credit rated entity, how much would the market mark you down when you're trying to go and get debt? To that end, it could be 10 to 15 basis points.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Stephen Lamb from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. A few questions from me. So what sale date have you assumed for Olympic Park within your guidance?
As Tim mentioned, the expressions of interest close early September. On normal basis, you would allow around 4 weeks due diligence and around 4 weeks settlement. So, you know, we've estimated around the end of November, but certainly we would expect it to close before the end of the calendar year.
Thank you. And in terms of gearing, where do you see yourself closing out at FY19, given the proceeds you'll get from Olympic Park?
Well, if you don't assume any revaluation gains, so if we just went on, we've said there's $110 million of asset sales, we've got a $91 million settlement, and a net $30 million of distributions to pay resulting to this half, which is net of the DRP. So really your position would be almost exactly where you are now, back around at 34%.
And on just to be clear, the $110 million is including any uplift you may get from Olympic Park, right? It's not like you're saying $110 million of current book value.
Correct. We've assumed...
No, that's at book value.
Oh, that's at book value?
Yeah.
$110 million.
So the $110 includes the quads at book value and other assets at book value.
And what would the sort of average settlement date be of that $110 million?
So again, for the quads 2 and 3, we've provided... was in the November. The others were the second half, but there are much smaller amounts and it's variable, but it has lower impact. Sometime in the second half.
Thank you. And what comp NPI growth have you assumed in your guidance?
Comp NPI growth, did you say? So a like-for-like guidance?
Like-for-like, yep.
Yeah, it depends on level of incentives, again, granted during the year on what we've got to do. I don't think we've made that public at the moment, but it's no greater than 2% on a like-for-like due to new incentives. For example, the second half of the David Jones incentive still needs to be paid in FY19.
Okay. And that's it for me for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Ben Brayshaw from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Sorry, good afternoon, Tim. Would you be able to talk a bit more about Wellington Central, please? The vendor quoted a passing yield of approximately 5.6% and a market cap rate of approximately 6.3%. I'd just be interested in your perspective, please, on the passing versus market rent, and if you wouldn't mind your view on an economic rent to build a new building in that location.
Yeah, okay. So the market cap rate, I think both parties agree. We bought it at 6.25. They might have rounded that up to 6.3. There's a long-term lease there for the government, another 8.3 years, and they have a rental abatement running through that to the end of the lease. And I think what IOF were probably mentioning, calculating the yield, is taking the rent and taking the abatement, and I think they quoted 5.6% yield, which would be the yield after deducting the rental abatement. So that's the difference in the yields. Your other questions were, sorry, just repeat those.
No, thanks for that. That's helpful. It was more on the passing versus market rent, the rate per square metre, whether you think that there's reversion in the asset if you were to reset the rent today.
Not significantly. It might be, about $20. The market rent is roughly $450 a square metre net. And the value of these DCF is assuming 50% type incentives over the first year or so, and then coming in. So what we like about that market and that asset is good asset. It's got a long-term cash flow. It's got 3.75% rent reviews. And what we like about that is the market there is on the improve, and we're buying where rental levels are $450 net a metre with 50% incentive. So in simple terms, an effective rent of $225 a square metre. So we think there'll be strong reversion in the market rent over a period of time, strong growth in the market rent over time, which will drive the value of the asset. But also at the same time, we're not weighed down by leasing up an office building in Perth, with multiple tenants, big incentives, big capex, having to refurbish the property, et cetera, et cetera. So we've sort of got the best of both worlds. We've got a secure long-term investment, and we've got the market working for us on the other side. That's the way we have viewed the investment.
But in terms of an economic rent, in other words, a replacement cost rent, if a new building was to be developed in West Perth, would it be economic at $450 a square metre, or do you think that
No. It
would likely need to be higher than that?
I think it would need to be higher, probably be, well into the fives, maybe even eight.
And Michael mentioned in his presentation that there was ongoing dialogue with Woolworths regarding their 2022 expiries. Would yourself and Michael be able to expand on that a bit more, please, just in terms of Larapinta? It would be interesting to know whether the tenant is at a point in their process where they are starting to actively consider their requirements for 2022.
I think their focus has been primarily on Jeff's Cross and Broadmeadows at the FY22 expiry. So, as Ed alluded to in the presentation, that we're talking about an expansion at Jeff's Cross, and we're aware that they're moving, obviously, to Broadmeadows. They've always said back to us that they're very happy with Larapinta and that it's an irreplaceable asset. In their eyes, they've invested well over $300 million in the infrastructure there, and it's been used as a blueprint to roll out other logistics centres around the country. They're on record saying that it's their most efficient site to distribute from, and I think at last count it was well over 25% of their national grocery turnover goes through that site. So whilst they haven't engaged directly saying we want to talk about an extension on this site today, we don't see it as being a great threat of them leaving that site.
They also just recently over the past 24 months spent some money at the property too. They spent $13-14 million of their own money on fitting in some new dock levelers and things like that. So whilst Woolworths is a big organisation, big budget and what have you, one wouldn't think that you'd spend, I think it was $13 or $14 million and then abandon that investment a couple of years later. So, it's a very good property for them. So it suits their purpose built it. They've located it where they want it to be located, and it's an integral part of their logistics network. So we'd be reasonably confident that they would stay, but we haven't signed them up for an extension or an option at this point.
And the discussions regards to Broadmeadows, are you able to talk about what they involve, whether there is opportunity for GOS by way of either retaining the tenant in part of the asset beyond their expiry, of course recognising that the Dandenong facilities reach practical completion, or is it regarding the lease tail and the releasing arrangements? Just your thoughts on that, please.
Yeah, Ben, it's more regarding the latter than the former. So they will relocate that operation to Dandenong. It will take them some time to ensure that despite reaching practical completion that it's operationally fit for purpose for them, so they're doing all their testing, etc. So it'll take them some time before they're off the site, and then it's really the discussion around their lease time. And when we can free up the opportunity to get in there and develop the site.
And just on the undrawn liquidity of $320 million, it gives Gos a fair bit of flexibility. Just interested as to whether that is likely to be a stabilised level of liquidity, or is it a liquidity level that you think is appropriate for the near term and it will be reviewed at some point going forward?
Yeah, look, I mean, it is higher than what we would normally have it. We very much like to look at all the contracts that we're entering into and make sure they're fully funded and we still have some flexibility at the other end. So we've got the distribution, the settlement of 836 Wellington, the construction of Botanica 3 and the potential expansion of Woolworths all to come out of that liquidity. We don't count on selling any property, even though we've got assets on market, because that's not certain. So we want to ensure we've got enough liquidity to cover all those projects that we're entering into. If there was no projects on the horizon, we see about $100 million is where we want to have undrawn lines with nothing committed.
Thanks, Dion. That's great.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Tony Sherlock from Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Just following on from that question from Stephen earlier, I'm interested in the level of development capex you have, are you assuming, for FY19?
I might take that one, Tony. So that what we have locked in at the moment is obviously appointed the builders, Hater, for building 3 at Botanica. That is a circa $80 million contract. There'll be some incentives to fund at practical completion, presumably, as we get tenants into the building. But there's an $80 million commitment, and that is due to complete mid-2020, calendar year 2020. So $80 million spread from now until mid-2020. As Tim mentioned earlier, Tim and Michael, there's a $50 to $60 million that we're still negotiating spend at Woolworths. Again, that'll take through to about 2020 as well. So again, a spend over that sort of period time horizon. So not all of it in FY19, certainly a portion, say roughly 2/3.
Okay, that's fine, thank you. Just with respect to your review of retail and your decision not to go down that avenue, are you planning to revisit that soon, and what would entice you back into the space, or what dissuaded you from looking at that sector?
Yeah, so just going back a step, we do have a mandate to invest in retail, and we haven't to this point. Also, our parent entity is the largest retail property owner in South Africa, so they have vast experience in retail property. Our review covered all sectors of the market, and fundamentally our view at the end of the day is that the yields on offer in retail property for the growth you get in rent makes retail property quite expensive, particularly relative to industrial and office. So we think rental growth in the office and industrial markets will be far superior to that in the retail market. Hence, we would expect a yield adjustment in the retail property market. And that may well come at some stage, but we have not seen that. So we're saying retail property is expensive at this point in time. Also, we went through, you know, the structural changes in the market, which sectors of the retail market would be attractive or would not. We looked at, the listed, the unlisted, the direct market, how we would invest, etc. So it was a comprehensive review, but fundamentally our view is that it is expensive for the growth offered and the yields offered at this point in time.
Okay, thank you. Last point, you've obviously gone recently into Perth. Are you considering other markets over and above that, or are you set where in your major cities as it stands now?
Certainly, I think over the medium term, most of our investment will remain on the eastern seaboard, and obviously we do have a preference for investing in Melbourne and Sydney markets, albeit, you know, that's where the lowest yields are, and we do like a bit of yield. I think Perth, we have been watching that market for quite some time. We have spent a lot of time on that market. And as I said before, a bit like what we did with Parramatta, we studied that market, we looked at deals in that market for 2 to 3 years, and then one came along that we really liked. And because we were educated on it, and the timing we thought was good, then we transacted. So that was a bit of an opportunistic and really almost a counter-cyclical type acquisition. Would we invest more in the Perth market? Possibly, but our focus will be on the eastern seaboard.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.